Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. It's Oxygen Media's shocking new series, The Smiley-Faced Killers, The Hunt for Justice. The series follows an active investigation conducted by retired NYPD Detective Kevin Gannon and his team of investigators and forensic experts as they look into the country's most notorious string of mysterious accidental drownings, hundreds of college-aged men. But the former detective believes these are not accidents, but homicides, and they all could be victims of a calculated group known as the Smiley Face Killers. Kevin Gannon retired from the NYPD as one of the most highly decorated officers in the department's history. As sergeant in the Detective Bureau, he made over 1,000 felony apprehensions, awarded almost 100 medals for bravery. He came out of retirement to prove that hundreds of mysterious drownings are actually connected murders. The Smiley Face Killers, The Hunt for Justice, premieres Saturday, January 19th, 7 Eastern Pacific, only on Oxygen Media, and the hunter, Kevin Gannon, with us on This Week in America. Kevin, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hear our story.
It is a pleasure to give you this platform, and I have so many questions and really looking forward to this series. Your involvement in these cases began back with the Patrick McNeil case, I think back in 1997, a case that you say haunts you to this day. Tell us about that case and why that's led you to over 20 years of looking into various murders.
It was a young man who was out drinking with friends and wound up 12 miles away in Brooklyn, drowned. I was always suspicious of the case from the beginning from all the evidence we were collecting. I knew from our harbor unit that the bodies could not have floated there because we've had most bodies that were recovered very close in the East River where they went in. This was 12 miles away, and the only way for the body to have gotten there would have been to have been driven there and deposited. So then I had two subsequent cases within the next 15 months found in almost the identical spots, and I wanted to investigate them as homicide, but, you know, since I'm the missing persons, they were telling me it's not my jurisdiction, let it go, don't worry about it. And I made a promise to the McNeil family that I would investigate it when I retired, which has got us started. But we never expected, I expected to look at those cases. I didn't expect to have 350-plus cases in 25 cities across the United States, 21 years later.
Well, yeah, it's amazing when you start connecting these. First of all, let's explain the name, the Smiley Face Killers. Where did that come from?
That came from the fact that there was a cryptic smiley face that is left at the scenes of these drowning cases, along with other graffiti. But if I told you what the other graffiti was, then everybody would know who it is, and everybody keeps asking, who is it? But we couldn't put that out because nobody's even considered them as homicides. We felt like we have to prove homicide first. Once law enforcement is recognized, then we'll tell you who we believe is doing it. And only from going to the scenes and looking for this graffiti and finding gang graffiti and getting a gang expert to come on board with us, one of the leading gang experts in the country, Dr. Gilbertson, we were able to, to tie in the connection between the smiley face and the other gang graffiti.
It's interesting you mentioned what you need to do. You've talked about your goals, and it starts with reclassifying. Is that where it all begins to go back and then investigate these as homicides?
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Once you do that, do you have to get it jurisdiction by jurisdiction to reclassify, or do you think if one does, maybe others would then follow suit?
Well, you would have to do, like you said, each city jurisdiction by jurisdiction, except that the FBI always states they don't see any connection. They're not saying that there's not a murder because we've had one that's already flipped into the office, Chris Jenkins. So they admit that there could be cases, but they don't see a connection. Once we show the connection between New York, Chicago, Minneapolis, Columbus, Pittsburgh, all these different cities, Chicago, when they see that, then at that point the FBI is going to have to be involved, and then that would be easy. And then they'll get a task force. They'll get the local agencies along with their personnel and start trying to round up some of these members. But I mean, this is a well-structured, organized gang which sells throughout the United States in major cities. So you're not going to wrap them all up, but you're going to maybe put them out of business for a while, at least with the murders anyway.
You've offered some chilling details that will make you believe in, if not at least consider, the smiley face killings. Let's talk about those. One is the smiley face symbols that you've talked about. Is that sort of like a taunting the police after a killing?
That's part of it. That's not the only reason. No, when we show you who the group is, you'll understand why they use the smiley face. But part of it is a taunting. And believe me, that's how we have to go to the scenes, because we want to make sure it's not copycats. So we look for the other graffiti besides the smiley face. But these guys are getting more brazen as time has gone on, and the murders have increased as exponentially as years have gone on. So, when police, we've gone to the scene and we've told police about them, and they've gone out and painted over the smiley face, a graffiti abatement plan. We come back a week or so later and there'll be something else there. And sometimes it'll be a word, sometimes it'll be a big eye, or it'll say, "We're watching you." They're letting us know, and the authorities, that, like, we know what you're doing, we're watching you. So they're basically telling them that the graffiti and the smiley face wasn't accidental, but yet still nobody's really listening, paying attention.
And you feel this is still going on?
Oh, it's definitely still going on. We have new locations we're looking at. We just, connected a Pittsburgh case. There's a couple of cases in Pittsburgh we were interested in. That would probably be the newest cell. That's probably the first case that's going to air this Saturday night, 7 o'clock. But there's also other states that we're looking at. Like, we've had some Colorado cases, but the kids weren't found in bodies of water, so we really didn't know if it was, and we haven't been to the scene, so we can't say yet. But those cases are now, happening more frequently, where kids are going out and winding up in the snow, and appears to be, death from hypothermia. But, they may have gone to another means besides just bodies of water. So we don't know about that yet. But, we see similarities all the time with specifically of who the victims are,
We're talking with retired NYPD Detective Kevin Gannon. The series is The Smiley Face Killers, The Hunt for Justice, premiering Saturday, January 19th, 7 Eastern Pacific, on Oxygen Media. Yeah, some of the similarities, presence of drugs. Talk about that, because that's a common denominator here as well, isn't it?
It is. That's a great question, man. What we found in the majority of the cases was our victim was a drug dealer. Almost 100% of the cases, at least 99% of it, they have a date rape drug called GHB, gamma hydroxybutyrate, which is usually a date rape drug that's given to females at the bar for sexual assault purposes. But to have that in young males that are, star athletes, star students, and come from the best families in the United States, it was very unusual to find. And so that's one of the elements that we found, along with physical injuries that have been missed by the police actually on the victims, when they recovered from the war.
Well, you touched on something else, too, a victim profile. Many of these, if not all of them, fall into a specific category.
Right. Exactly right, Rick. They're the best students, 3.5 GPA and above, and we even have specific subjects that they're taking. I mean, we have like 35, 40 engineers, mechanical, biological, chemical engineers. That's too specific. You can't just say that only engineers going out getting drunk and winded in bodies of water, or criminal justice students, or doctors and lawyers. They're the best of the best. They're the best athletes. They're star athletes in football, lacrosse, basketball, baseball, state wrestling champions. And then, of course, they come from very well-to-do families, the best families in the United States. So it looks like the best of the best that these guys are targeting. So we consider these definitely hate crimes.
Interesting, the state of remains. You've looked at this and said in many cases, you see an inconsistency with the original investigator's conclusion. Talk about that, the way you're finding the bodies, that for you is a red flag.
Yeah, because, boy, you really did your homework, man. We need you on our team. But the bodies are found in bodies of water, for extended periods of time. And though cold water can slow down the decomposition process, retard it a little bit, not to the extent that these bodies are found. And when they're missing for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 days, and they have 2-3 days of decomposition, that's a red flag for us. And then there's also... there is physical injuries on the victims at times, or other pieces of evidence, like they're found in the Mississippi River, which is a muddy bottom, but there's sand on them. But yet there's sand by a beach next to where they could have been, put into the Mississippi River, which the medical examiner should be collecting that evidence, or leave. So you can say, wait a minute, this kid didn't go in where we thought he went in. This leave is only prevalent over here, 12 miles up from upriver. So we should look up there. That might be our crime scene. And then you might find, which we found, footprints or, car tracks where somebody could have driven down to the river and deposited the body. And we have pictures of that, but nobody's collecting that physical evidence. And you need that if you really want to try to, you know, bring somebody to justice.
Well, the question is, why does that happen? Why are clues like that, obvious clues, it seems, overlooked? Are they ignored? Why does that happen?
I think most law enforcement, and I wasn't either 21 years ago, are not really adept at drowning cases. In fact, even medical examiners will tell you it's an exclusionary diagnosis. When there's no other cause and a body's in water, they just assume drowning because there's no real definitive answer for it. We've, after looking at hundreds and hundreds of cases and autopsies, we have come to some things of what proved drowning, which is usually there's water over 1,000 milliliters in the bodies, in the lungs. We know what the lung weight is. There has to be an exorbitant amount. There should be froth or something in the body or a little bit of blood in the larynx and in the throat area. So and when you don't see that, that's not drowning. And then, you know, so law enforcement is looking at drunk young males, risky behavior, coming out of bars, highly intoxicated, falling in the water. But we also have victims that have, like, no water or no alcohol in them. So we also came to the conclusion with the kids being drugged that maybe somebody's, you know, pumping them with alcohol before they deposit them in the water to make them look like they were highly intoxicated. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I got about a minute or so left in the program. I saw an interview. You talked about there's a resistance on the part of law enforcement to serial cases, and that leads to a task force, and cases go on and on at that point. Talk about that resistance, and do you see that possibly breaking down, especially as evidence comes forward with the smiley face killings?
Yeah, no, well, listen, nobody wanted, when I had the three cases in New York in 15 months, I wanted to investigate it. They were like, you want to make this another serial case like the Son of Sam? That's never going to happen in New York City again. You know, because the two most dreaded words in law enforcement is serial killer, as you stated. And then the two words that subsequently follow, which is task force, which is, you know, exorbitant amount of money, manpower, logistics, you know, bringing men off different shifts, bringing them, you know, and working this and that. I mean, it's a monumental task. Nobody wants to do it, and we understand that. So we went out and tried to get as much evidence we could to compile, to bring to law enforcement, not to disparage them, and then to show it to them and eventually the FBI, the hope that, you know, they would investigate it. But our last ditch effort was to go to the court of public opinion, people like you, who are well-versed in what's going on, and, you know, to show it to the public and let them be outraged, and hopefully they will help to, you know, force law enforcement to move on this.
You've been doing this for, I believe, over 20 years now. I get the impression you feel you're getting close to maybe moving in the right direction, getting these reclassified and being able to bring the murderers to justice.
Yeah, no, we definitely feel like that now, and I think you'll see some of that on the series. But yeah, we know who the group is. They're well structured, they're organized. There's different, you know, reasons why they're involved. I mean, you know, there's gang initiation, there's even some ritualistic aspects of some of the bodies in different cities, how they're posed and whatever. But the overwhelming reason predominantly is the fact that these are hate crimes, and that should be investigated, and hopefully will be federally down the road.
We will be watching every Saturday night for The Smiley Face Killers, The Hunt for Justice. With us on the program, Kevin Gannon, a retired NYPD detective. It airs on Oxygen Media every Saturday night, premiering Saturday, January 19th, 7 Eastern Pacific. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us on the program. I guarantee you we will be watching every Saturday night at 7 as this unfolds. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, thank you for everything you did. Thank you for being so adverse to what's going on. And I would love to come back when we start announcing who's doing it and maybe break it on your show. Thank you so much.
Open invitation. We will stay in touch. I would love that. Again, we're talking about The Smiley Face Killers, The Hunt for Justice, premiering Saturday, January 19th, 7 Eastern Pacific on Oxygen Media. Kevin Gannon, our guest on the program. Information, of course, at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.